right now.
America Tonight. Of course, each and every show, you know how we roll here. We go inside the Beltway to talk to the true insiders from Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joins us now. Hey, Victoria, how are you?
Good, thank you.
No earthquakes, no hurricanes, anything else like that? Just a normal day?
Locusts.
Cicadas.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, what an odd thing, but can you imagine scheduling collides? Obama's job address, coincidentally, is the same night as the Republican debate that's coming up, which would be Texas Governor Rick Perry's first appearance. What was it that John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, wants the president to do?
He wants him to instead to go up against the opening day of NFL.
You think he's going to change?
Well, you have to be invited. And it does sound as though it wasn't coordinated terribly well. And it does sound as though this White House may not have got it quite right. Now, White House sources and an aide to Boehner all agree that the administration did let the Speaker's office know ahead of time that Obama would be requesting a joint session of Congress. That's where the story diverges. Then the White House says that they, quote, talked to Boehner's office and raised the date and time, and there was no objection raised by them. Well, a Boehner spokesman, Brendan Buck, says no one in the Speaker's office, not the Speaker, not any staff, signed off on the date the White House announced today. So that's where the two stories differ, and that's the story that they're sticking to. Now, it's reported that White House aides and Boehner aides are meeting late tonight. To try to work this out. But the fact is that these things are normally arranged privately ahead of time so that by the time the announcement's made, nobody has any big surprises. In fact, first of all, the president announced it, and, you know, maybe he did it, maybe they messed up, maybe they didn't realize. In fact, that he announced it that way, but then that the speaker made a public repudiation like that, a public slap in the face, that actually is unprecedented.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because who would know that there was even a clash here? I mean, of course, once it was announced, I guess, and then you think of the Republican debate, but it was a quick way to say, I got you first. Here you go. It's your problem. It's, you know, can
exactly.
You please move it? Yeah,
exactly.
put them on the spot. I'll be curious to see how that's resolved. The president on Labor Day weekend, apparently, is this true? He's going to take a tour of New Jersey?
Yes, he is. He's going to see flood damage. He's going up there, and it was a wise move. I mean, if he hadn't gone, he would definitely have been criticized for that. Of course, he may be criticized for it anyway as capitalizing on it. But it's something that a president is expected to do, and he is doing it. Yes.
What about this deal about FreedomWorks and the Tea Party Express? What's happening there?
Well, this is fascinating because FreedomWorks, which, as you know, is Dick Armey's organization, a national Tea Party group, that has sort of targeted former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, has now gone as far as to say it's going to protest his speech to Tea Party Express supporters on Sunday in New Hampshire. There has been a Tea Party Express Reclaiming America bus tour, and FreedomWorks is no longer going to be involved in the tour because it has allowed Mitt Romney and Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, to speak. And they say that FreedomWorks says that Mitt Romney and Orrin Hatch have actively and consistently supported expanding the role of government through government-run health care, Wall Street bailouts, and spending hikes.
All right, so we got a couple of clashes and probably showdowns. Maybe. It's always interesting when we talk to you. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thank you. Shortly after talk to Victoria, got a tweet from somebody telling me that, oh, of course, what are they going to do? They're not going to, you know, they're going to grandstand about who did what to who as far as scheduling the date on top of each other. But the president has agreed to move his scheduled special address to a joint session of Congress back just a day from September 7th to September 8th. So after that conversation with John Boehner, let it marinate for a little bit. And this happened this evening at the White House. They decided to make the move. Now, here's the statement, though, that was released. The White House, and I just got this maybe 40 minutes ago, the White House said both houses are going to be back in session after their August recess on Wednesday, September 7th. So that was the date that was requested. We consulted with the speaker about that date before the letter was released. He determined Thursday would work better. The president is focused, this is the White House press release, the president is focused on the urgent need to create jobs and grow our economy. So he welcomes the opportunity to address a joint session of Congress on Thursday, September 8th, and challenge our nation's leaders to start focusing, ready for this, 100% of their attention on doing whatever they can to help the American people. That's called spin, baby. Spin out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So, I mean, I don't blame them. Because, listen, this was a contest of, all right, I'm going up to the line, you're going up to the line, someone's got to move it here. And it was a way to spin it because it did erupt earlier in the day. So now the 8 p.m. speech, you know, came less than 2 hours after the House is scheduled to complete its business. And that's what happened with the moving it back a day. So we get it, right? Everybody gets it. Okay. We're all good. And really, do you want to compete with the NFL? I don't know. That could be interesting, I'd say. Flip a coin, right? So Jay Carney, of course, the White House mouth spokesperson, gets involved because he's asked about it. And he says, I love this. This is the right time to do it and the right day to do it. If the Republicans want to adjust the timing of their debate, that would be extremely fine with us. So they can't pretend that nothing was going on here, that there wasn't a conflict earlier in the day, because there was a conflict. And so actually, whoever's the idiot that's in charge of the calendar blew it. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? Somebody there messed up. All right, coming up on this Hour of America tonight, do you believe it? We have another hurricane to talk about. I used to know somebody named Katya, and she was like a hurricane. So I bet that she is loving that there is this wind tunnel being named after her, so to speak. But seriously, is this a threat? I mean, hype is on, baby. Let's be the first to hype this and get everybody all excited about another hurricane after what we just went through. Not lost from the people in Vermont or New Jersey. You just heard the conversation there that the president on Sunday is going to tour the flooded areas in New Jersey. Coming up next on America Tonight, the 70th anniversary of the Jeep. The significance of the Jeep and World War II, this is fascinating stuff. It's next on ATN.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Once again, for my friends at Midas Resources, these are hard times for investors. You don't know which way to go. Is the market going to recover? Is the Washington spending machine going to continue? And that means a lot of debt and maybe printing money to cover the debt. They call it monetizing the debt, but that's a fancy way of saying inflation. And a lot of people are worried about that. So you need the ultimate inflation hedge, and that's gold. Now, let me be clear about this. Commodities fluctuate in price. They can go up and down. Very volatile, there's no guarantee. But if you want the ultimate inflation hedge, you need to talk to my friends at Midas Resources. The number, 1-800-686-2237. If you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to have it in your possession, call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. It's Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237 for gold, and tell them Jason sent you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Here on America Tonight, you know I'm a big fan of the automobile, but did you know I also have a thing for Jeeps? I really do. Although I've never owned one, it's the strangest thing. In my single days, I dated two different guys who had Jeeps, and I had a cousin who had a Jeep, and she lived in Philadelphia, and I used to tool around in it, and I think I was so cool in this Jeep because it was easy to find parking, parallel parking with a little Jeep. It was like an old Army Jeep. It was so easy. So everybody always wanted to ride with me. How fun to have David Colley, the editor-in-chief at AOL Autos, on with us to talk about the Jeep. What is it about the Jeep? Is it truly an American icon?
It absolutely is. And, you know, it was the hero of World War II. General George Marshall, in fact, called it indispensable to winning the war. And the roots of the Jeep and the Jeep brand are interesting. When we were building up for the war, even before Pearl Harbor, the War Department, as it was known then, realized that they didn't have kind of an all-purpose vehicle for the armed services. And now they're looking ahead and seeing that they're going to have battle theaters in Europe and North Africa and the Pacific and these Pacific islands. And if in those days, in 1939 and 40, if you wanted to move a gun placement from one place to another in a battlefield, you were pretty much looking at a wagon and a mule to do it. Because trucks, you know, and they use trucks and things like that, but you can't always use a truck in a battlefield. And if you wanted to send a soldier on a reconnaissance patrol, that kind of thing. In fact, the original sort of request for proposal on this military vehicle specified that it was a reconnaissance vehicle. So, you know, if you wanted to send one or two people, you know, somewhere to gather intelligence, do reconnaissance, you know, they either had to do it on foot or a big truck. And, you know, in World War One, which was the war obviously before World War Two, they were still using a lot of horses in those days. So they put out this proposal and they sent it to over 100 companies. That's the other thing. You have to remember, in 1940, there were a lot more car companies operating in the country. And only two actually sent proposals back. One was the Bantam Motor Company in Butler, Pennsylvania, and the other one was the Willys Overland Company. And this little company in Pennsylvania actually had the winning design for what became known as the Army Jeep, the Willys Jeep. And the reason it's the Willys Jeep is because while the Bantam Company came up with the design, they were almost bankrupt and couldn't be relied on to build the thing. So the government turned over the design to Willys and to Ford. And so between those two companies, between Willys Overland and Ford, they built over 600,000 Jeeps during the war.
Wow, I had no idea about that. It's true because it's maneuverable, too. Like I said, I mean, of course, you're talking about a war situation versus parallel parking in a different kind of war on the streets of Philadelphia, but it's maneuverable.
Yeah, I mean, I drove an original 1940s Willys Jeep recently. It's really cool because it's completely bare bones, and it was designed to take a beating, and I felt like it would be hard to actually hurt this thing. It was so durable and so it was a ball to drive. And you know, you talked about your Jeep. I imagine it was the Jeep CJ.
Yes.
And what happened after the war is that a lot of servicemen were exposed to the Jeep, and so the Overland Company said, you know, we got all these customers and built-in customers and these people who like the brand and like the vehicle. Let's build some civilian vehicles. So one of the things they built was the civilian version of the Army Jeep, which became known as the CJ. And then today, the car that is kind of the direct descendant of that is the Wrangler. So there's a straight lineage from today's Wrangler to that original Army Jeep.
Why did they call? I didn't even think about this until I knew I was going to have you on. Somebody asked me the answer to this, and I didn't know. Why was it called a Jeep? Did it have a different name?
Well, you know, this is one of those debates and arguments that's like the Loch Ness Monster. There are two prevailing stories, and each story has its own its own followers. One is that the code name for the vehicle was actually the GPW, I believe, and so that just got shortened to Jeep. And then the other story, believe it or not, is that there was a character in the Popeye comic strip called Jeep. And somehow that connection was made that people started calling this thing the Jeep. I tend to favor the former, but since I wrote the stories for AOL Autos about the 70th anniversary of Jeep, which we're celebrating this year, and in fact this summer, I got all kinds of comments on both sides, you know, each supporting, each story. So it's hard to pin down.
Yeah, it's funny. We started this off and you told us the history, you know, talking about war and why it was developed. And the funny thing is, and it's the first thing that struck me when I got a note on this, is Italian. And then I didn't even think then somebody said to me, yeah, hello, German company, German, Italian. It is pretty funny if you think about it long enough.
Well, what you're talking about is the fact that, you know, the Jeep really came of it. It was invented for World War II, which we were victorious and defeating the Germans and the Italians and the Japanese. And in the last 12 years or so, Jeep has been mostly owned, because Jeep is part of the Chrysler Corporation today.
Right.
Jeep has been mostly owned by Daimler, the German company, which manufactured a lot of German army vehicles for World War II and German tanks. And now it's owned by Fiat, the Italian automaker. And Fiat actually was the manufacturer for most of the Italian military vehicles for World War II. But what's interesting is that I've covered the industry for a long time, and I can tell you that in both eras, the Daimler-Chrysler era where they own Jeep, and now the Fiat era, they are big, big enthusiasts of Jeep. They love Jeep as a brand. They love Jeep vehicles. Jeeps, in fact, there's a huge following of Jeep in Europe, because what happened was after the war, a lot of Jeeps got left behind. And so they were either sold off, surplus, or in some cases they were just kind of, found or taken over by refugees. And so one of the biggest Jeep enthusiast clubs in the world is actually in Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like they might, they get together and they might have all kinds of vintage Jeeps and whatnot.
They do. That's exactly right. And you know, what's funny is that Volkswagen actually manufactured the German equivalent of the American Jeep, and they call theirs the Kubelwagen. And just a point of interest, since we got into Germany, is that the engineering platform, kind of the guts of the Kubelwagen, was actually the guts of the Volkswagen Beetle. When Germany went to war, they had the Beetle in development, but then, you know, they suspended a production of passenger cars, so they took the engineering bits and started making these military Jeeps. And then that Kubelwagen, that German Jeep, showed up on American shores. Some of your listeners will be old enough to remember that Volkswagen sold a vehicle called the Thing, the Volkswagen Thing.
I remember that.
In the early 70s. And that was the Kubelwagen and basically the German Jeep.
Yeah. Do you think... All right, so how interesting is that? We could go on and on. In fact, we could have talked about Jeeps for like an hour. And it's interesting, like I said at the top, I loved Jeeps when I was a kid. I mean, even when I was a little kid, I had an uncle who played hockey, and he had a Jeep that he used to drive around in. In fact, because of the weather, we had to switch cars one time, and I thought it was the coolest thing that we got to drive around in the Jeep. How many of you can relate to that? You know, it's a car thing. You either like them or, you know, you don't. A lot of people feel like they're too uncomfortable. All right, we're going to make a few people uncomfortable next here on America Tonight as we bounce back to D.C.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA. But Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
But sober people know that I get your mind. Go down the curb that don't drink out. But sober people know that I get your mind. The people inside the chicken hanging.
And Jason, I'm gonna let that roll a little bit. Hey, everybody, America Tonight, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. Maybe you're in the car driving away somewhere to an undisclosed location to take some days off because Labor Day, you're stretching it, getting in that Thursday and Friday. I know a lot of people actually that do that. They wait till the tail end of the season to take their break. In the East, a lot of the schools don't start until after Labor Day. In fact, it may be that way in some other parts as well. In the South and the Southeast, a lot of times the kids go back to school earlier, and part of that is because of the heat. So when you hit, you know, you hit June, they're already out, whereas some of the other kids are still taking those tests. It didn't matter to me. If we got those extra days off, I was all for it. You know, when you get the snow days, and then you get to take the snow days, and then they say, oh, well, that's okay, we'll just let those slide. Oh, I couldn't be happier. When the sweet sound of the bell went off and poof, we were out of there for a couple of months. But I think for the most part, other than those pockets that I mentioned, in fact, the places where a lot of the flood waters hit in New Jersey and Vermont, a lot of those children were out of school because they didn't go back and won't go back until after Labor Day. I guess in a way that could be kind of a blessing if you look at it in one sense. You didn't have to worry about this hurricane's coming, and then we're probably going to have a couple extra days off from school, because then really the focus is the water and saving everything, and who knows what happens in those classrooms, because a lot of the schools get hit too, since everything was awash in some of those little towns. So we talked at the top about the whole push-pull over moving the speech, the job speech that Obama's going to deliver. So the timing is kind of interesting, because now you'll have the Republican debate, and of course that'll be Primo attacking the administration and the lack of what they haven't done and what Perry says he's going to do, or what Romney says he's going to do, or Bachman says she's going to do, you know, all the questions they'll be hit with in the whole debating process. And then, boom, the very next day, then you've got this jobs speech. And still, the White House tried to use it to their advantage by saying, well, I hope that all the lawmakers focus 100% on getting America back to work. Do you think it's possible? I mean, seriously. Whenever anyone says 100% anyway, my eyebrows, boom, shoot up. Because is it really 100%? You know, when someone says that I'm 100%, I'm at work 100% of the time. I work 110%. Which I always think is hilarious when someone says that. What's the difference between 110% and 100%? You know, what's the difference? What if somebody went into one of those job evaluations and they said, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, because of the brain capacity that we all are carting around, I work 79.5% of the time. The rest of the time, I'm like mush. I'm sick of people coming to my cubicle and talking to me. I'm tired of conversations on the phone, and I just want to go home and chill, man. I want to go home and relax and listen to my iPod or watch some tube or whatever. But I think that would be refreshing almost. But I can't tell you the amount of times I've been somewhere where someone's said, when they're selling themselves, I give 110%. If you give 110%, I need you to tell me how I can give 110%, and the rest of you listening can do the same thing. So, you know, the comment about Congress focusing on that, well, it's not going to happen, because we already know some of the things that Congress is going to have to deal with when they come back anyway. And part of that is that whole deficit stuff, too, even with the super committee. And then you also have dealing with the aftermath of Tropical Storm Irene. But the upshot is this, is that now, you know, it's a battle of wills, if you will. Or maybe anybody listening to me doesn't really look at it that way. The president agrees to do an address instead, to deliver his address on jobs and the economy to a joint session of Congress on the 8th, like I already said, and defers to the Republicans. So he's got to compete with the NFL. He has to get, and that they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to have to compete with the NFL, because remember, what are we, if nothing else? In my book, my new book, Level the Playing Field, I say this. We are all about football in this country. And it looked like there wasn't going to be a season, or it was going to be pushed back. So now we have a season. So where do you think the focus is going to be? NFL or the president? NFL or the president? And trust me, anybody running for office, I mean, let's be honest, they're going to hope that the focus is on the NFL, because then they can say, well, look at the ratings. You know, they could point to that and that it's the same old, and, you know, that the job speech was nothing more than lip service. Now, ahead of the speech, the president is promising that there is going to be more jobs, that 4,000 or so more jobs here, more jobs there, but I'm thinking 4,000 more jobs. Isn't that what AT&T said? If you just let us do the T-Mobile thing, we'll bring those 4,000 jobs back to call centers. Was he referring to those jobs? I don't know. And I tried to get some more specifics on it. I tried through somebody at the White House, but they're only releasing little snippets that they want to be released as far as that, you know, the object of the speech. I mean, we know what it is to get people excited and to say jobs are coming back and all of that. But the specifics, instead of the broad strokes, they're not available at this point. I mentioned Katya, so I feel like I need to veer off from politics for a second because I'm in one of these zigzag night moods. I know you know how that is when you're kind of all over the place because there's so much you want to talk about. And I always say it's about water cooler buzz. So we're still dealing with the whole Irene thing. And now you have Katya could be a threat. But I'm going to watch and see how the forecasters handle this because of what happened last time, the big being accused of hyping it too much and all that. So the National Hurricane Center in Miami is cautioning everybody. But they're basically, this is weird. For the first time ever when I called someone, they said, oh, well, we're not stressing over the storm. I mean, we're just cautioning. And we're just warning. You know, it was just cautioning. Well, is it a threat or not a threat? We're just cautioning. We just see some patterns. So here's what the patterns are. This is the deal. It's over warm waters. It's in a low wind shear environment. Does that sound like it could become a hurricane? There's two elements that might make it become a major hurricane by the weekend, right? You still have a ton of ocean to cross. So does it make any impact when it crosses the ocean? I mean, that's the other thing, because how many days in advance can you get it? And now the information, because they got so much blowback on this, now what they're releasing, the statement is basically the reason we don't do forecasts more than 5 days in advance is the information just isn't good. The error beyond that isn't acceptable. That's great. So we could do that before, but then we got harassed so much we've decided, you know, we're not even going to talk about it. Katya is 1,800 miles east of the Leeward Islands, and the pace is like 20 miles an hour, west-northwest, if that gives you any clue. The speed of the wind, 75 miles an hour, and then, you know, it's got to encounter what looks like thunderstorm clusters over the Gulf of Mexico. So here's the deal. It most likely becomes a tropical storm in the next 2 days. So what would you see along the Gulf Coast, which would be Mississippi and Louisiana? Probably rain. I'd say you're going to see some rain. But does it go up the belly of the beast in Texas, the Florida Panhandle? Who knows? It doesn't look like it's headed east, but it's too soon to tell. Wouldn't that be devastating? First you have the Irene stuff, and then behind it to have this Katya thing. Oh, remember, that was always the concern. That was the concern with the Katrina stuff. And then what would follow behind it? You know, I went back and looked at some of the all-time crazy weather patterns. If we look to this day, right? You know, they always, when you watch the news, they always say, on this day, September 1st, here are some of the things that we dealt with. Well, in 2006, some of you might remember, there was a tropical storm called Ernesto that dumped about 9 inches of rain on Norfolk, Virginia. And it was still the city's greatest single day of rainfall. The greatest single day that they ever had. That's crazy. 9 inches of rain. Whew. And in Texas, they're talking about the temperature, talking about what kind of records are going to be set with the temperature. And if you think of the heat where you've had, you know, 60 days of 100 plus, some of you can relate to that maybe. In Los Angeles, you've got back in 1955, they had a temperature that reached 110 degrees. That was an all-time record for that city, 110. Can you imagine? And L.A. usually, you know, I'm sorry, they're so wimpy in L.A. They can only deal with 70, 80, 90, that kind of stuff. 90, it's hot. It's just the worst. All right, odds and ends coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep.
Friends in the Northeast are dealing with swollen rivers that are beginning to fall, thank goodness. So you got relief crews that are able to help the people in some of those small Vermont towns and in New Jersey and whatnot. That's great. So that's starting to peel out. In other words, you know, the water levels are going down. That's great news. But what about some odds and ends from around the country? The buzz in your backyard. One of my favorite things to do. Well, here's something that created a ton of buzz. How about this? Rye Playland, did you hear about this story? Was shut down the other day because police actually got into it, described as a scuffle with some Muslims that were upset that women wearing headscarves were barred from the rides, right? There were 15 people, and that included 3 women that ultimately, because of this whole thing, were charged with disorderly conduct. Now, I'm going to reveal something to you that I think you're going to laugh a little bit about this. I used to work when I was in college and I came back for a summer, I decided I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to make tons of beer money for school. So my way to do that was I worked in a doctor's office, and then I had a friend that talked me into working at an amusement park in Jackson, New Jersey. It's a really big one. And working at that amusement park, one of the things they didn't allow is anybody with hanging things, any kind of scarves, and I guess that would be head scarves, because they were afraid, at least the ride that I had where people came down in those gondolas, you know, when they were going around the park, because you could get them caught in the doors and stuff. So they didn't allow that. Now, Rye Playland, it had to be shut down because it got so nasty. And it really was over that. Now, this park, this amusement park, is in Westchester County. So, you know, we're talking about New York. And it was packed with a lot of Muslim folks. They were celebrating the end of the holy month for them, Ramadan. And there was a lot of arguing going on about the rule about wearing, you know, about wearing the headscarf. And they decided the ban happened at this park, and I double-checked this myself, right? The ban is not Muslim-specific at all. And because I worked in the park for a short time, and that's another story, because I worked in the park, and they didn't allow that, and this was, you know, 15 years ago, this same thing with this amusement park, it's not surprising to me, because what would happen is hats and stuff would fall into the roller coaster tracks, and a couple of times it got dangerous. So anything with headscarves or any of that stuff wasn't allowed. So sadly, this is a case of the park was right and the cops were right. And the Muslims who were celebrating, they were wrong. They weren't wrong to dress however they were dressed, coming in celebrating or doing whatever they would normally do, but that's the rule. It wasn't some kind of thing that was slammed upon them. It wasn't like France barring the headscarves or the hijab. It's not that. It simply is something that they've always had in place. So now it's become this, where some of the people there are saying, oh, the cops beat us up, and this is wrong, we were pushed into the ground, all this other sort of stuff. And they're trying to say, look, we just wanted to get on the rides. This has only happened because we're Muslim. That's the only reason that it happened. So you're forcing the chief inspector of Westchester County, of public safety, right, to come down and get in the middle of this and reply. And he's saying that the police didn't use excessive force. And, you know, you had 100 cops from other departments that came to the park. And there were a couple of people that got bruised and stuff. And it was, of course, ugly in this assault thing that happened. But you had the event was put on by the Muslim American Society of New York. OK, you had 3,000 Muslims from Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx and Westchester. And now what's happening is some of the people are trying to say that they were tackled and put into handcuffs and all this stuff. So the melee that ensued, you know, that would be individual what happened. But the headscarf rule, I'm sorry, flat out I can tell you, there is no case here, because that has always been in play in a lot of amusement parks. It has nothing to do with someone's religious orientation. Nothing to do with that. It's the regulations, because of the safety factor. It becomes a projectile. I've seen it. It happened 15 years ago. It was a rule where I was working. So unfortunately, see, this is the other part of this. In this crazy PC, you can't really say what you think and you're going to get slaughtered for it. Because what's happened, and what, of course, now CARE gets involved in this. And so you have Zeid Ramadan, who is the president of the Council on American Islamic Relations in New York, saying that in this heightened state of Islamophobia, a woman wearing a hijab is an easy target these days. And unfortunately, this turned ugly due to miscommunication. And so I would say this over and over again. The miscommunication was the automatically assuming, oh, you are, this is because you're prejudiced against us, and this is your fault, blah, 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 blah. And it's not. It is absolutely not, because it's something that's always in play because of things that have happened at amusement parks, you know? That's flat out they're wrong. And if CARE jumps on this and it gets bigger, it doesn't sound like the New York version of they're saying it was a miscommunication. He was smart to say that, because if it becomes this magnified issue, shame on CARE, because it's not. It has nothing to do with that, and the amusement park was 100% correct. So from that buzz in the backyards, because there's plenty of parks around the country and they're all dealing with the same thing, to this one, Maya Angelou gets into the debate over the MLK statue. And you've heard my take on this already. Why wasn't this statue done by an American artist? I don't understand. Not because I'm being, here's my $100 word, not because I'm being jingoistic, but because I think for what he meant as a civil rights leader, why wouldn't we have an American design this? Why wouldn't we have an American do it? And my biggest problem is the fact that we're pulling, just like everything else, let's get it from China. And the artist was terrific and all that. I mean, the sculptor, really. But then we're pulling in all these pieces from China. It's just so apropos for what's happening to us now each and every day in this country, right? So we get this statue that's now going to be one of our monuments in place in Washington. It's already there. And it's not even done by an American. So here's the thing. Maya Angelou decided she was going to react to this. And what she said is the inscription, the quote that they used was taken out of context, and it makes them seem arrogant. And what the quote that she doesn't like is this one. I was a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness. That's the inscription they chose on the 30-foot-tall statue of King. And I love how, because, you know, older people don't pull any punches. I don't care, you know, who they are or where they're from. It doesn't matter. She just said, you know, this is her quote. The quote makes Dr. Martin Luther King look like an arrogant twit. And she says she thinks it should be changed. Do you think they could get an American to change the inscription then, the quote? Think they could do that, hire someone to do that? I mean, she is right in a way. There's so many different things that they could have picked. The whole I Have a Dream deal, I mean, you know, that's the big thing. You could have picked pieces out. I mean, that was the one piece. Why would you pick that one? There's better things that could have been used on it in the first place. You know, I'm just saying.